Welcome, great patriotic friends, to September 15th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. It is I, your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. One of the reasons why I do this show is because a couple of years ago, I was in Paris, France, and I saw somebody walking around with a Captain America t-shirt. Right, I get it. Chris Evans makes a great Captain America. And yes, the Avengers rule the box office when it comes to Marvel heroes. But it's not like I see somebody in California sporting a France de la Capitaine t-shirt. Let alone a Captain Britain one. Or a captain anywhere else for that matter. So yeah, that's one reason why I do this show. I assembled this podcast in a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move here, or if you live here already but you have questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. As a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So that's why you should check it out. TeresaLovesRealEstate.com, and then give her a call. Area code 619-507-4906. And now let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, and put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Very nice. And now on to today's headlines. Happy birthday, William Howard Taft. The Heald Square Monument of Washington, Morris, and Solomon become a Chicago landmark. And Marilyn Monroe films The Skirt Scene. All right, so now let's do this. 1857. Happy birthday number 27, William Howard Big Love Taft. Taft was born to a loving mother and distinguished judge in Cincinnati. Actually, his dad was Attorney General for President Grant, and William Taft followed his footsteps. He graduated from Yale second in his class, and then got his law degree from Cincinnati Law School. Like his father, who also attended Yale, William Taft was a member of the Skull and Bone Secret Society, which his father co-founded. Skull and Bones was some Yale Phi Beta Kappa thing, which allegedly has ties to a branch of the Illuminati, which secretly controls world powers. But that's a discussion for another time. By the time he was 29 years old, William Taft was already Superior Court Judge for the state of Ohio. He married Nellie Herron in 1886, who was a childhood friend of his sister that he met while sledding. He continued to rise up the political ranks, but was more interested in the judicial branch than the executive branch. But Nellie had visited the White House as a child and wanted to live there. So, executive branch for Taft it was. In 1900, President McKinley appointed Taft governor of the Philippines, which was purchased by the U.S. from Spain. In 1904, Teddy Roosevelt appointed Taft as Secretary of War. After much endorsement from President Teddy Roosevelt, Taft easily won the presidency against William Jennings Bryan in 1908. Roosevelt has cut enough hay, they said. Taft is the man to put it in the barn. Taft's single term in office found him caught in the raging battle between the progressives and conservatives, and won respect from neither. Conservatives were glad to get rid of Teddy, the mad messiah, Roosevelt, but Taft was not Roosevelt, and as a lawyer, was hesitant to push the political envelope overreaching his presidential powers, saying that Roosevelt ought more often to have admitted the legal way of reaching the same ends. Big Bill Taft was a jovial and distinguished judicial president and lacked savvy politician skills. He was a big man known for constantly eating and had a tendency to burp and fart during meetings. Most of the time that was only funny to Big Lub, but sometimes other attendants would burst into laughter. His lack of knowledge about big business led to allies losing respect for him. And when he tried to lead Congress to lower tariffs on goods entering America, he went up against traditional high tariffs that dominated Congress and failed miserably. His lousy handling on the tariff issue led to the Payne-Aldrich Act. Taft also separated himself from Roosevelt by trying to break up U.S. Steel, which Roosevelt approved as Taft's predecessor. Uh-oh! Watch out, J.P. Morgan and Andrew Carnegie! Here comes Charles Schwab! Definitely a story for another day. And as if that weren't enough, at 6 feet 2 inches tall, weighing 332 pounds, urban legend has it that Big Bill Taft got stuck in the White House bathtub and had to get a bigger one installed. By the time the midterm election came, Taft lost the Republican majority in Congress. Throughout the rest of his term, Taft's administration initiated 80, that's 80 folks, antitrust suits, and was able to pass through Congress the so beloved income tax. Hashtag sarcasm. During the first year, that income tax raised $13 million in revenue. Isn't that something? Also under Taft's administration, a postal savings program and the Interstate Commerce Commission was created to set railroad rates. As president, Sleeping Beauty Taft had a couple of cows grazing on the White House lawn. Why? Because he loved milk that much. In fact, true story, the two cows that he had, Mooly Wooly and Pauline Wayne, were able to produce 64 quarts of milk a day that Taft could sell for 80 bucks. Good girls! During his administration, two states entered the Union, New Mexico and Arizona. At baseball games, he began a tradition by throwing the first pitch of the season. He appointed Julia Lathrop to lead the Children's Bureau. She would be the first woman to head a federal bureau. As the first president to own an automobile, he converted the White House horse stables into garages. In foreign policy, Taft used shirt-sleeve diplomacy, open-door policy, and dollar diplomacy when dealing with China and Latin America. Dollar diplomacy with Latin America guaranteed loans to stimulate growth, trade, and prosperity. Something like that. In 1912, the Republicans renominated Taft. Check out his campaign slogan. Shout then for Taft. He is on the safest craft, working for the right and you. Bull Moose may blow, Woodrow Wilson may row, but 'tis Billy puts the old ship trough. That's awesome. No wonder he didn't win. Actually, Roosevelt checked out of the Republican Party and created the Bull Moose Party, who was more on the progressive side, thus guaranteeing the election of Woodrow Wilson. Roosevelt came in second, Taft came into third. Taft didn't want to be president anyway, calling it the loneliest job in the world. He went back to teaching law at Yale when in 1921 got some of the best news he'd ever received that President Warren Harding had appointed Big Lub Taft as Chief Justice for the Supreme Court. It was his lifelong dream, and he was the only president who served both seats. From there, Taft retired due to two heart attacks. He reconciled his differences with Teddy Roosevelt, who acknowledged that during his four-year term, Taft busted more trusts than Teddy did in 8 years. Taft died at home in Washington, D.C. on March 8, 1930. He was the first president to be buried at Arlington Cemetery, and he would be the last president to have facial hair. Happy birthday, Big Lub Taft! 1971. The Held Square Monument of Washington, Morris, and Solomon becomes a Chicago landmark. If you haven't been there to read the plaque, let me explain. When George Washington was general of the American Continental Army during the American Revolution, he used help from Moore's superintendent of finance and entrepreneur Robert Morris. When General Washington's men were ready to desert his beloved Continental Army, Morris's money would arrive just in time to keep the fight going. In fact, Morris was the fellow who financed the transportation of French and American troops down to Yorktown, where they cornered Lord Cornwallis and ended the war. He actually used his own personal credit and good name when he ran out of cash, which was a monetization called Morris Notes. But when Morris needed help of his own to finance the war, he turned to a Jewish broker from Philly named Haim Solomon. Haim Solomon was born April 7, 1740, in Poland, and he knew a thing or two about religious persecution and fled to New York, where he became a broker for merchants doing overseas trade. During the Revolution, Solomon was arrested by the British Redcoats twice and escaped the second time to Philadelphia, where he continued to finance the Patriot cause. He brokered the sale of a majority of the French and Dutch generous financial aid for the war, selling bills of exchange to American merchants. In addition, he lent money to James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe to the tune of some $600,000 worth of notes. He didn't even charge interest! He would also not get any of his money back and died penniless January 6, 1785. His descendants tried to collect as well, but no love there, brother. That's why, my friends, For what it's worth, Solomon is immortalized in this bronze statue, along with Morris and Washington, right there in the Michigan Wacker Historic District of Chicago. Solomon's legacy continued on as the name of a battleship in World War II, a square in Kew Gardens in Queens, New York, a memorial park in Frazier, Pennsylvania, and other depictions. And finally, in 1954, Marilyn Monroe is filmed in the famous skirt scene. I might actually still have a poster of that somewhere. She was standing near a subway vent while filming The Seven-Year Itch when a gust of wind blew her skirt up. Oops! Husband and baseball legend Joe DiMaggio was furious. Not sure why, considering Marilyn had already posed naked for a calendar before they were married. At any rate, he divorced her shortly thereafter, a decision he would probably regret. After Marilyn died in 1962, DiMaggio put flowers on her grave every day for the rest of his life.
And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for September 15th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. For instance, what's your opinion on the legacy of President Taft? Or what about Marilyn Monroe's skirt scene? I mean, even if you're too young for that movie, surely you've seen a poster with Marilyn Monroe standing over that vent with that look on her face saying, "Oopsie, my skirt went up." Classic. So yeah, let me know what you think. You can also take a shot at some of the multiple choice quizzes while you're on there. So good luck with that. And be sure to check out tomorrow's episode. I'll talk about the draft, David Copperfield, and Dr. Phil. So don't miss it. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. See you tomorrow.